Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 27. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will fall away, because it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter told him, "Even if everyone falls away, I will not." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus said to him, "today, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he kept insisting, "If I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And they all said the same thing. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He said to them, "I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake." He went a little farther, fell to the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once again, he went away and prayed, saying the same thing. And again, he came and found them sleeping because they could not keep their eyes open. They did not know what to say to him. Then he came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The time has come. See, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's go. See, my betrayer is near." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, suddenly arrived. With him was a mob with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had given them a signal. "The one I kiss," he said, "he's the one. Arrest him and take him away under guard." So when he came, immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. They took hold of him and arrested him. One of those who stood by drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a criminal to capture me? Every day I was among you, teaching in the temple, and you didn't arrest me? But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all deserted him and ran away. Now a certain young man, wearing nothing but a linen cloth, was following him. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth behind and ran away naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes assembled. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the high priest's courtyard. He was sitting with the servants, warming himself by the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they could not find any. For many were giving false testimony against him, and the testimonies did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, stating, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made by hands.' Yet their testimony did not agree even on this." Then the high priest stood up before them all and questioned Jesus. "Don't you have an answer to what these men are testifying against you?" But he kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest questioned him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus. "And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What is your decision?" They all condemned him as deserving death. Then some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to beat him, saying, "Prophesy." The temple servants also took him and slapped him. While Peter was in the courtyard below, one of the high priest's maidservants came. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about." Then he went out to the entryway, and a rooster crowed. But when the maidservant saw him again, she began to tell those standing nearby, "This man is one of them." But again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing there said to Peter again, "You certainly are one of them, since you're also a Galilean." Then he started to curse and swear, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, a rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered when Jesus had spoken the word to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. For 3 years, they had traveled together. For 3 years, they had seen miracles. For 3 years, they had seen things that no one could do unless he came from God. And yet, after 3 years of spending time together, eating together, sleeping under the stars, having real fellowship, watching Jesus in action, now, when things are turning out exactly the way Jesus told them that they would, they all run away. They're terrified. Not because things didn't go the way Jesus promised. They went the way Jesus promised. But they didn't go the way these men wanted them to. It wasn't their plan being fulfilled. It wasn't their vision coming to pass. It was God's word coming to pass. But it was not the way these men had planned it. And so they ran. Before they ran, Jesus warned them that that too would happen. And Peter, always quick to speak, Peter spoke up and said, "Even if everybody else," who's he talking about? He's talking about these guys. "Even if everybody else forsakes you, I'll stay with you. Nobody's going to scare me off." But in this situation, when Peter's saying, "I'll stay with you," Jesus says, "No, you won't. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter's saying, "No way. I know myself. I know that I can be counted on. I know my love for you. I will not forsake you. I will be there for you." But it's not going to turn out that way. In fact, when Jesus says, "Here's what I want you to do. Just stay awake. I'm going to pray. You guys stay close by. You should pray too." Instead, they all fall asleep. Jesus comes back and wakes them up and says, "Could you not stay awake 1 hour? Jesus is going to spend a sleepless night. And he's asking them, stay with me here. I know you're going to scatter later, but for right now, will you stay with me? And instead, they go back to sleep. They just couldn't help themselves. Jesus is alone with his Father in the garden. And he's praying, Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. Please. I don't want to go through this. It isn't just the physical torment, which would be horrific, but it is the spiritual transaction that is about to take place. The Bible says, he who knew no sin, he had never sinned in his whole life. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. All our lies, all our selfishness, all our sin was put on him. And he became guilty. He became the sacrifice who bore the wrath of God for us. We can't imagine what that would be like, because we can't imagine what it would be like to be sinless. But Jesus was the sinless Lamb of God. And that's why he was able to bear our guilt and be the sacrifice. He took our place. So Jesus prays, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. I have heard preachers say, you ought not to pray that way, because that's not real faith. If you're praying for healing, don't ask God to heal you, and then say, but thy will be done. Those preachers are speaking very foolishly. This is perfect prayer from the perfect Lamb of God. And what he is praying for is what he told us to pray for. When you pray, say, Father, our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the way Jesus told us we should pray. That's the way he prayed. And unless you want God's will above your own, you're not following Jesus. Jesus did what he told us to do. He prayed honestly, expressing his desire to the Father, and yet submitting his will to the Father's will, and saying, nevertheless, what you will. Jesus shows us in the darkest hour of his life how to pray the way he taught us.
If you're a married couple and you want to enrich your marriage, we have a plan. April 27 through 29 should be a fabulous time of renewal and encouragement, refreshment for you as we study God's Word together. It is titled Sacred Union, and again, it's April 27 through 29 at the Blue Mountain Mist Country Inn here in the Great Smoky Mountains. My wife and I would love for you to join us if you're a married couple that wants to grow closer in your walk with the Lord and your walk with each other. So you can get more information and you can register at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And so, he had told them, you're going to scatter. They couldn't even stay awake for an hour. Now here comes Judas. The guy who'd been the treasurer, At the meal, when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, the guys didn't look at each other and say, I bet it's Judas. I bet he's the one. Judas was above suspicion, but he was a fraud. He was a liar, he was a thief, and he would betray Jesus. One of the Gospels says he was filled with Satan. Satan entered into him. Evil was in control with Judas. And he comes still, teacher, and gives him a kiss. And yet that was the signal that he had prearranged. Now, what did Judas think? They wouldn't know who did it? The thing that makes a really effective liar, somebody who can fool other people, is they have to believe their own stuff. Let me tell you something, folks. You may fool yourself. You may fool others. You won't fool God. Judas greets him with a kiss. And this mob grabs hold of him, ties him, and is ready to take him away. So Jesus is led away to the high priest, and all the chief priests, elders, and scribes assembled. And they did something that was illegal under Jewish law. And that is, they had a trial in the middle of the night. And they had arranged a bunch of people who were supposed to give testimony against Jesus. But the problem is, the only people who could bring an accusation against Jesus were liars. There's a real problem with lying, and that is, if you're making stuff up, you have to remember what you said. That's one reason that police question people over and over and ask the same questions over and over. Because if you're telling the truth, you can tell it over and over. So, they bring forward these false witnesses, and they start trying to tell things on Jesus, and the problem is, it takes two witnesses to agree in order for them to do something under Jewish law. And they can't get two to agree. And the chief priest is getting more and more upset. And finally, he says to Jesus, aren't you going to answer these charges? There was nothing to answer. These guys couldn't get their story straight. They're lying, and they're confused, and their stories don't agree. Jesus had nothing to answer, and so Jesus is silent. If you were there on trial and people were lying against you, wouldn't you want to say, that's not true? Jesus didn't do that, because he knew that nobody in the room was interested in truth. They weren't asking questions because they wanted to get to the bottom of this. They were asking questions because they'd already decided they wanted to kill Jesus. And they didn't have the authority to do it legally, and so they were doing an illegal trial, hoping to turn him over to the Romans so that the Romans would get blamed in the eyes of the mobs. When Jesus kept silent, verse 61, again, the high priest questioned him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus said, I am. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And it's true. But at that point, Jesus said, I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tears his robes and says, you heard it. It's blasphemy. It was not blasphemy. It was the truth. The high priest didn't care if it was true. He just wanted Jesus dead. What is your decision? The high priest asked. And they all condemned him as deserving death. Then some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to beat him, saying, prophesy. And the temple servants also took him and slapped him. Anytime you have to go through suffering, anytime you have to go through indignities, where people don't treat you the way that they should, where you feel that you're being disrespected, I want you to remember what Jesus went through for you. I want you to realize the suffering that he endured so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have eternal life. He was willing to endure all manner of suffering out of love for you. So now we go to Peter. Meanwhile, verse 66. Peter is in the courtyard below. One of the high priest's maidservants came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it. And then he went out to the entryway, and a rooster crowed. Peter didn't heed the warning. When the maidservant saw him again, she began to tell those standing nearby, "This man is one of them." But again, he denied it. And after a little while, those standing there said to Peter again, "You certainly are one of them, since you're also a Galilean." How would they know that he's a Galilean? Do you know how they'd know? Because Peter talked like he is from the country instead of talking like he's from the city. Peter's trying to blend in. He doesn't want people to know that he's with Jesus. But after he's denied it twice already, they hear the way he talks and they say, "You are with him because you're from Galilee." Now Peter's feeling really frightened. And so he started to curse, verse 71, and swear, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately a rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered when Jesus had spoken the word to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. I hate to have to stop at this point, because we're right in the midst of the most dramatic events in all of human history. But I want you to consider, where do you fit in the story? Can you identify with Peter saying, "I will follow you and stay with you until the end," and then falling asleep when Jesus says, "Stay awake," and denying him when you said you wouldn't? If you can relate to Peter, you're not alone. And the wonderful news is that Jesus didn't give up on Peter. He knew what was coming and he still loved him. He called him to better things. And he's calling you and me to better things as well. I certainly hope you don't identify with Judas. I hope you're not a phony. I hope you're not just pretending. God knows I don't. But I'll tell you this. God knows. What do you do if you have been faking it? What do you do if you are just putting on a show? While you still have the chance, get on your face before God and ask him to have mercy on you and to change your heart. Ask him to save you. God saves sinners. Please understand, eternity is what's at stake. Forever. Don't be a phony. And if, like Peter, you deny the Lord, let it cause you to weep as it did Peter. But Peter didn't just weep. Judas would go out and hang himself. Peter would be a faithful follower of Jesus. And you can too, if you want to. Ask him to change your heart and make you faithful, and he'll do it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearsvalleyranch.org.